Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our second reading is the basis of today's sermon, especially these words. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Thus far the reading. Good afternoon, Mount Olive Lutheran Church. It is good to be here and to worship with you. And we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer. This time, how does it go? Forgive us our sins, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But our text is a bit different today. Rather than the traditional way the Lord's Prayer, it has a bit of a different spin. It's more accurate to the Greek. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Funny story about debt. Me in debt, right? Me and my parents always had the same agreement. When I'm in college, it is my job to focus on my studies, and they will pay for my college. But when I'm not, when I'm home for summer on break, I'm working to pay that off. That was our deal. I was a BC student, so me not working during college was a good thing. But as I had my first call, and I only had about $30,000-$35,000 in debt, and I was like, you know, I'm going to live like a pauper for as long as I can, you know, and I'm going to pay off my debt. Took me about a year and a half, but I did it, and I was debt-free. Ah! Debt-free! It's great! And then the economy tanked, so I got to come up for air and stop living like a pauper, only for the economy to go the other direction and go, I guess I'm going to continue to live like a pauper. But I didn't have that debt hanging over my head. But that's debt, right? You owe someone. In my case, I owed the bank. I owed the bank something. I owed them money. And yet in our text, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Do you think if I went to the bank, they'd be like, ah, you're good. Don't worry about it. We've forgiven your debt. Yeah. No, you all laugh because why? The bank is like, you owe us. And that's often how we treat other people who have wronged us. See, when we see that we've sinned against, someone has sinned against us, it's, you know, well, this person, they've wronged me. They owe me. And it's difficult to, sometimes if it's minor enough, you don't even think about forgiveness. You just think, don't worry, it's not a big deal. But if it's a big enough thing, and you're like, you should forgive so-and-so, you should forgive such-and-such, you should forgive your brother, you should forgive your sister, your mother, your son, your daughter, your acquaintance, your coworker. If it's big enough, suddenly it's, no. No, I'm owed, I have been wronged. And I'm not going to forgive them because I am owed. The very least, they should grovel, should be humiliated. It seems so simple. In our first reading, we have Jesus just forgiving a man of his sins. And what do the teachers of the law do? They scoff, right? What is it easier? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? And then he turns and says, go and get up and walk. And most of us would say that he just healed that guy. That is the greater thing to do. But forgiveness is hard. It's hard to forgive people their debts. In our second reading, we perhaps have the greatest example, right? You know, Peter's coming and he's saying to Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times? If you're operating by the three strike rule, wow, Peter's being really generous. Wow. Good for you, Peter. And then Jesus tells him the classic, what? I tell you not 7 times, but? Yeah, 70 times 7, right? What he's meaning is, don't keep track, right? Then he goes and he tells us the story of the ungrateful servant who owes 10,000 bags of gold. How is this man going to pay that off? And yet he has the audacity to say, Lord, my king, my lord, give me some more time. Like he could ever pay off this thing. And he says, don't worry about it. And then when his servant comes to him, he wants to wring his neck and says, give me that money you owe. That 100 silver. Not an insubstantial amount of money, but compared to what he's been forgiven, massive. But we often look at it like that. Forgiveness is too hard. It's easy for the Lord to forgive us, but it is impossible for us to forgive our neighbor. I have a story here for you. This is a true story. Gary Ridgway, he's 54 years at the time, is one of the biggest and most prolific serial killers in U.S. history. He pleaded guilty for killing over 48 women. He admitted to the murders on November 5th in 2003 in a plea deal to provide more information in the whereabouts the remainder of his victims, just to avoid the death penalty. During his sentencing, family members of the victim were invited to speak. If I might share a few of their words with you. Michelle Andrews, you said that your memory of all the women whose lives you took was gone, but our memory is not. In your words, you say that they did not mean anything to you, but she meant everything to me. Gary sat there, stone-faced. Sarah King, she was a mother, she was a wife, she was a sister, and we miss her. Gary sat there, stone-faced, unfeeling. Vicky Warr, to the room, he is an animal. I wish for him to have a long, suffering, and cruel death. Gary sits there, impassive. Carol Etz, a Christian. He's going to hell, and that's where he belongs. Again, Gary, the words seem to just wash off of him. See, that's the great trick, right? When we're owed, we become angry about it. We think if we let go of our hatred, it'll make everything right. If we let go of our hatred, we'll lose out on something, that the hurt will go away. But it is the poison that we drink, that hatred, hoping that the other person is going to die. In the midst of all this, the torrent of people who have gone forward, I have one more to share with you. By the name of Robert Rule. Mr. Ridgway, there are people here who hate you. I am not one of them. You have made it difficult to live what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that is to forgive. And you are forgiven. Gary's stony exterior breaks because this man forgave him. Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. Forgiveness is sometimes a process. It's difficult. It's not easy. I still have days against where people have sinned against me, and I've thought that I've forgotten them and haven't remembered it, and I wake up angry, and I have to breathe that anger all out again and say, no, I've forgiven them. It may take me a few minutes, an hour, or a day, but I do, because that is how Christ teaches us to live. And perhaps some of you think of Gary, maybe all those people he's murdered, and say, and maybe you agree with Carol Estes, who says, he's going to hell and that's where he belongs. The murdering of a child. But in the same way, when Christ, the Son of God, was murdered, hung on a cross, humiliated, it would have been within the realm of understandability that the Lord Father wiped us all out of existence. Instead, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ wipes out our debt. I'd like to leave you with this last bit from our final reading. Forgive us our debtors, as we also have forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know if any of you have a cup of rage and hate that you are holding, drinking, imbibing, hoping that someone else may die, because forgiving them would mean that it letting that go. In the case of Gary, Robert forgave him. Sure, Gary still had to pay his debt to society, much like I still had to pay mine to the bank. But if you are struggling, come and lay your cup of hate at the altar and instead receive the forgiveness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.